Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 18 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Jimmy Butts. Jimmy holds an AB in Bible and a BA in Christian Ministry. He has ministered to adherents of African American religions for more than 10 years and is currently completing a Master's of Divinity in Islamic Studies. In the Volume 39, Number 4 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Jimmy has written our cover feature article called "The Origin and Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement." Jimmy, it's good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Melanie.
So what makes apologetics towards the Black Hebrew Israelite movement so critical right now?
I believe because of our current racial climate, oftentimes movements like these tend to flourish and gain a lot of attention during times in America where a lot of racial tensions are at the forefront. You know, if we can even see from the example of the Muslim movement that during the time of the 60s, this is when they were gaining prominence and people were giving them a hearing. And so I think that our current time of racial tensions and all the things that are going on the news and things like that are helping to cause a whole lot of questions that people are wanting answers to. And therefore, we as Christians got to be those who will give those answers and not allow that to be filled in by people who don't have the true gospel.
This particular topic is really popular in terms of wanting more information on it. I know that we get asked on our Facebook page regularly about this movement. We get letters, we get emails, and we get questions on the Bible Answer Man program. So we're really glad to have you on this episode. Why is ethnic identity so important among this group, the Black Hebrew Israelites?
Well, with this particular group, their ethnic identity is tied closely to their soteriology, meaning their doctrine of salvation. And so as I mentioned in the article, these different camps or different groups within this movement have different views. Some of them hold a view that Gentiles, meaning non-Hebrews, can be saved, but others have a view that only Israelites can be saved. And so this is why they place so much prominence on ethnic identity, because a person or individual's ethnic identity can, at least for many of these groups, determine whether they can be saved or not.
So why do you think this emphasis on their identity has great appeal to young Black people? Do you think that they're getting more converts because of their emphasis?
Yes, I think it has a lot to do with the historical degradation of the African-American psyche. And I think sometimes we as Christians may overreact to these movements and become dismissive to these longings that many young people are showing. There's a quote by Martin Luther King. He made a statement. He said, "One positive response to our dilemma," speaking of African Americans, "is to develop a rugged sense of somebodiness. The tragedy of slavery and segregation is that they instilled in the Negro a disastrous sense of his own worthlessness. To overcome this terrible feeling of being less than human, the Negro must assert for all to hear and see a majestic sense of his worth." And so I think that oftentimes what Christians may miss is this important piece that we have to bind up the wounds that the history of these people have caused. And so I think that many young African Americans are being lured to this group because these men are actually addressing those issues and are trying and attempting to say something about it and heal them.
Can you tell us a little bit about the roots of the movement? Is it larger today than it has been in the past, or what's kind of the origin of how this particular group came about?
Well, I argue that this movement came about through a transition in African American thought, in African American theology, a shift from a symbolic to a literal identification with the Hebrews, and I think that over the years, as this movement has developed, it started off small as a small sect, but even up in during the time of the 60s, it grew just like groups like the Nation of Islam grew during those times. Because as I said, during times of racial strife, they tend to gain more adherence. No one knows the like what's the statistics of the group nowadays, but I would guess that they would still be relatively small, but their influence is widespread and further than their numbers may show us.
So when we think about apologetics, do you think there's a different apologetics methodology when talking to people from this particular group, or how we have to consider, you know, sharing with this particular group?
Yes. One theologian, James Cone, he points out a distinction in theology, and he makes a distinction between the theology of the slavers on top of the ship and the theology of the slaves at the bottom of the ship. And he argues that their theology, the slaves' theology, is a theology from the bottom. And similarly to that theology, American apologetics has often been done from a social position of privilege. And so a lot of our methodologies that we learn and we use come from that privilege and are answering those questions that people of privilege may have. And therefore, when we are approaching members of this group, we have to have an apologetics from the bottom. An apologetics from the people's perspective who are in a different social location or are asking different questions. And therefore, that's going to cause us as Christians to have to read broader in our study of church history and theology to help us to give voice to the things that that these people need to hear.
So you were talking about their theology is really flows out of those their soteriology. So how would you say hermeneutics, you know, really plays into this? So how important is proper hermeneutics for the Christian who wants to engage with people in the Black Hebrew Israelites?
Yes. Much of their doctrines come from a misinterpretation of Scripture. Three principles that I think that anyone who is going to engage with the Hebrew Israelites, and for that matter, the Hebrew Israelites themselves, need to take seriously is this idea of authorial intention, first and foremost, because that saying that the writers of the Bible had an intention that is separate from us, the reader, that they had something that they were trying to convey, and our job as interpreters need to focus on, okay, what was the author intending by this message? Furthermore, the writings must be interpreted according to their genre. We see a lot, oftentimes in discussions with the Hebrew Israelites, that they're applying interpretive methods that are not appropriate to a particular genre. So, for example, real quickly, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, where is a quotation of Jesus, his feet were like burnished bronze and like it was refined in a furnace, and his hair was as wool. If you take away from this particular passage the idea that you're in apocalyptic genre, your interpretation is going to be flawed. apocalyptic genre must be interpreted from a standpoint that they're using symbols. And so when it says that out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, I'm sure none of the Hebrew Israelites believed that Jesus walked around with a sword in his mouth. So that shows the flaw in this methodology of interpretation that some may use.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Jimmy Butts, who has written a feature cover article called The Origin and Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement in Volume 39, Number 4, the August 2016 issue of the Christian Research Journal. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We were just talking about the hermeneutic practices of the Hebrew Israelites, but I also want to talk about their influence. And I know there's a lot of YouTube videos out there about them, but how much influence do they have, you know, beyond the internet, like on the ground in local African American communities?
Wow. Yes. Don't let the numbers fool you. I'll say that. Just this past Sunday, a member of the Black Hebrew Israelites drove by our local church and gave someone literature, some of their own literature, a member of our congregation. Multiple people that I converse with are expressing that, that their loved ones are gaining interest in this movement and they're being influenced by them. So although their numbers may be small, I think on the ground level, many people are being influenced by it.
Do they actively try to, it sounds like at your church, but are they actively trying to find other Christians? In other words, going to churches and so forth to get new members?
Absolutely. There have been times that some of these groups have actually went into African-American churches and took over. And so just like in the 60s with members of like the Nation of Islam, they would stand right outside of black churches and try to fish, that meaning try to draw people to their movement. And I think the Black Hebrew Israelites are taking that same method.
So how would you advise African-Americans who obtain like genetic verification that they're an Israelite? That might be important to them in terms of this group.
Yeah. Well, I would say that, first of all, they should celebrate their culture. God has blessed each and every one of us with who we are, our color. So this idea of color blindness is, opposed to the diversity of worship that God expresses in the book of Revelation. And so I believe that if a person, African American or anyone else, find out that they are ethnically Jewish or ethnically Israelite, they should celebrate that. But also I would tell them that they should trust in Jesus for their salvation and not their ethnicity. Their salvation must be seen through the blood bought price that Jesus paid on Calvary and not because of their ethnic origin.
It seems to me that this group is, emphasizing the Hebrew part, the black Hebrew Israelites. So, in thinking about that, what role does the Exodus story in the Old Testament play, not only for them, but also more broadly in the African American in theology?
Absolutely, yes. When African Americans in slavery, when they first encountered the biblical literature, and they read into the story of the Exodus, for obvious reasons, they related to the enslaved Israelites. The Israelites were enslaved. They were enslaved. They were being oppressed. The Israelites were oppressed. And so the Exodus story was a vital part of African Americans grappling with their existence or the existential reality of evil and slavery. And so I think that the story of the Exodus gave a answer to the problem of evil within African-American theology. And so this story, I mean, it looms important even to this day. But even if you go back to some of the spirituals, like here's one line from a spiritual. It says, when Israel was in Egypt land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And so you see, even within the development of the spirituals in African American church history, that there was this attraction to the story of the Exodus, the story of Moses, and these large figures in the Hebrew Bible.
So does that particular story, do they emphasize that in the Black Hebrew Israelite theology?
Yes, because especially when it comes to in Deuteronomy chapter 28, they point out that Israel was delivered from slavery at one point, but there was a time they claim prophesied for the future that Israel would go back into slavery, and so they use that kind of like a verification that African Americans are enslaved. Are the Israelites due to that common history. So, yes.
So what advice would you give to, Christians who want to engage in evangelism with Black Hebrew Israelites? How should they approach them?
Yeah, well, first I would say I don't think our main focus should be on disproving their Israelite ancestry. Regardless of what ethnic group someone comes from, that's irrelevant to the gospel. And so I think that oftentimes people get pulled into this battle of trying to prove that, hey, was Jesus white? Was Jesus black? How did Jesus look? And things like that. And so they get pulled into these arguments that don't have any salvific relevance. And so I think the first thing that I would encourage or tell someone that they should do is avoid that type of argument. But also I would say to use their conscience as a witness against them. In Black Hebrew Israelite soteriology or their doctrine of salvation, it's this view that obedience to the law will save them. And so when we look at Romans chapter 2, Paul tells us that our conscience tells us that we're not following the law, that we're lawbreakers. And so when I'm engaging with a Hebrew Israelite, what I'm going to try to do is try to challenge them on their ability to keep the law. Because the Bible tells me that their conscience is going to tell them that they're not obeying the total law. Keeping a big emphasis on their inability to keep the Mosaic law, but also being sensitive to issues of race is very important when you're dealing with this group. Oftentimes I see individuals from outside of the Black community coming in to try to serve in that community, and they're not sensitive to the issues of race. And so that can cause a huge hindrance to their ministry among African Americans. African Americans think about race and are affected by race for the majority of their lives. And so if you're not sensitive to the issues of race, you could probably cause more stumbling blocks than you will gospel bridges.
So how should the evangelical church more broadly respond to the growth of this movement? I know you said, we shouldn't just look at numbers because they're out and about quite a bit. So how should we respond to this growth of this movement, which I imagine is, probably growing, just like you said, due to just current circumstances with, issues regarding race at the forefront of our culture right now?
Yeah. Well, I would say, first of all, we need to take it seriously. One quotation that I mentioned in the article is that cults are the unpaid bills of the church. And so when we ignore the presence of these opposing views, then that's what allows them to flourish. And so first and foremost, we need to take seriously the fact that that they're out there and that they're drawing people to their views. But secondly, we should educate the church or educate our members and teach them how to witness to Hebrew Israelites. We need to maybe start little forums or little Bible studies and or teachings that will help us to go over some of the verses that oftentimes are twisted by the Hebrew Israelite members and teach people how to interpret their Bibles and to be ready to engage with these men and these women. But also to be intentional about engaging these members. We as a church, we can't sit back and wait for non-believers to come knocking on our doors. We have to go to where they are. We have to be intentional about reaching these people, because as we sit back and in our lofty churches and in the comfort of our air conditioning, these members are reaching our people at their local jobs, at football games, at on the street corners. And so we have to be intentional about it. But also I would say members of the church should read books, write books, write dissertation topics need to be focused on this this movement. It should be taught in seminary, like the preparation for ministers of the gospel to go out into the communities. Oftentimes we prepare them to reach groups or cults that may be more common in other communities, but we're not preparing them to reach members of communities that are not in the dominant culture.
So why don't you explain to us what their particular views are of Anglo-Americans? How do Black Hebrew Israelites view white American Christians?
Yes. Well, let me tread carefully on this, because as I noted, many of them have different views on different things. But I think in general, the Black Hebrew Israelites will oftentimes consider white people as evil, as particularly evil. They will point out the historical injustices that were perpetrated by people of European descent and say, see, look, they're evil. You can see by their history. And so oftentimes you will see in their theology a connection with a particularly evil historical figure. So, for example, a particular person who was cursed with leprosy in the Bible was said to be the father of the white race. And it's just ironic, because the only connection that we can really find out that it has is because his skin turned white. But others will say that white people are Esau, and show how they're not in the covenant and not able to reap the covenant benefits of Israel. And so the Black Hebrew Israelites, at least in general, have a negative view of white Americans and Europeans in general.
So what about the, you know, white or Anglo-Christian who does want to engage with members of this movement, that does want to, you know, read up on what their beliefs are so that they can reach them with the gospel? How would you counsel those people to engage with Black Hebrew Israelites?
Yes. Well, I would argue that, first of all, we need to be ready to give an answer, regardless of who you are. That is taught in the Bible. Peter tells us that. Paul's ministry in the book of Acts gives an example of that. And so regardless of who you are or what ethnic posture you come from, you have to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's in you. So although they have a negative view of white Americans, and I do believe there will be a lot of stumbling blocks in a white American attempting to witness to this group, I do think that white Americans should at least be ready to give an answer. And so if they're engaging, if they overhear someone speaking this doctrine, hey, they should be ready to speak up and say, well, the Bible says this. But ultimately, though, in my view, and I could be wrong about this, is I believe that white Americans should probably support African Americans who minister to this group. I think that this will be a primarily African American led ministry, and not because I believe that African Americans are smarter or anything like that, but for the simple fact that if we look at their view of white Americans, you're going to be treaded in deep water trying to witness to these people from the get-go. And so African Americans can use their ethnic advantage in this particular situation and lead the cause in ministering to these people. So I think one way that white Americans or people in the broader church can help in this ministry is by supporting people who don't have a outright distaste in the mouth of the Hebrew Israelites from the beginning.
Thank you. Well, finally, I wanted to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Jimmy. So, Jimmy, what's your favorite snack?
My favorite snack is probably pistachios.
You are working on your master's degree, and so what is one of the most interesting classes you've taken lately?
Probably my class on Islamic texts, reading up on the history of how they were developed and things like that. So, yeah, Islamic texts.
And what's your favorite form of exercise?
Actually, I think swimming. Swimming is my favorite form of exercise, but I rarely get to do it. But I do think that, yeah, swimming is my favorite.
If you were lost in the forest, do you know how to build a fire? Do you know how to start a fire?
Yeah, actually, a fun fact about me is that when I was younger, I was a Boy Scout for a little while. And so they taught us how to build fires and things like that. So, yes, I would know how to build a fire.
If you have an hour of free time, how do you pass your time?
Well, if my wife is not available, I would spend it in reading.
Well, thanks, Jimmy, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jimmy Butts has written a feature cover article called The Origin and Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement in the Volume 39, Number 4, August 2016 issue of the Christian Research Journal. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 1-888-ASK-HANK, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you go to equip.org, where you can download our free smartphone app on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal.